do you think it's a good idea that we record something live on location? There's potential here for all sorts of interruption.
I think we're okay. People will respect our space.
Really?
Yeah. No, we'll get through this. No problem.
I'm glad you think so.
What is that guy staring at?
He just looks weird.
Is he staring at us?
No.
What are you looking at? Have you never seen a podcast before?
Never seen the two hosers before?
Hello and welcome to episode 30.
Six.
I should have checked.
36, I think.
Episode 36 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan in Tübingen, Germany, as always.
No, wait a second.
Cut that. Can
no,
we cut that?
No, you're not.
I am in Vancouver, Canada, as we speak. I'm sitting right next to Adam Schwartz. Hello, Adam.
Hello. I'm also sitting next to Alan in Gary Point Park in Steveston, British Columbia.
We're actually south of Vancouver, but in a suburb, and this is our very first show together live in person.
It's very exciting.
And as a special gimmick, we've gone down and we're recording this outside at the next to the river.
Yes.
In the ocean.
Right.
It's where the ocean meets the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Water.
Anyways, so what's going on, Adam?
Not much. Out here doing a podcast with my friend Alan here, or as Jack likes to call him, Addle.
That's right. So long story short, yeah, good luck. I had a bunch of work lined up in Vancouver, so I had to fly home for a week, quickly knock off a whole mess of jobs. It's been pretty much a madhouse for me, just nonstop work. But I knew we'd be able to squeeze in a couple of podcasts while I was here. So
why don't you tell us first off, Alan, about some of the things you were shooting while you were down here? Brought you all the way to Vancouver.
Yeah, well, a bunch of videos, which is kind of boring stuff.
Don't
is that guy golfing? Sorry,
maybe.
That guy,
it's a mini golf.
That guy looks like we're not anywhere near a golf course yet. That guy looks like he has a golf cart and a golf hat.
I think it's a trailer with a cooler on it.
For our podcast listeners, I hope we painted a decent word picture of that. Anyways, no, I had a bunch of video work to do, which is kind of boring. This isn't the Two Hosers video show.
Right.
But a couple of the projects I had to work on were actually photo shoots. So one of them was like a gala event for one of my clients. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk about it yet. But
well, yeah, I asked you, what did you shoot?
No, the name client, the client name, though.
Maybe leave that out.
Yeah, we'll leave that part out. Although that makes it sound a lot more salacious than it really is.
Well, now I think everybody is thinks it's salacious.
It's not. I think of somebody really famous in Vancouver, and that's not who it was for.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, it was a big gala sort of event at the Vancouver Convention Center, which, have you been there yet?
I have not.
It's my first time there. It was fantastic. What a fantastic building.
What makes it so fantastic?
They built it for the Olympics. They built it down right in the water there at the in Cole Harbor.
Yep.
And so it's a brand new facility. If you watched any of the Olympics from Vancouver, I guess quite a few people broadcast from there. And the Olympic Flame was next door.
Yeah.
Or still is.
Yep.
I think. Anyways, it is the whole back wall of the building is just all glass. So
okay.
It looks out over Cole Harbor, and you can see the North Shore Mountains, and the Stanley Park is right there, and it's just fantastic.
Okay, and I imagine that must have been tricky with all those windows for shooting pictures.
Absolutely. It ended up being... So I was shooting a lot of stuff for... like publicity shots for newspapers and outlets. I'm not sure where it's all going, but that's what it's for. It's sort of your who's who and who is where and that kind of thing, society pages.
Right.
And so basically I needed to use my flash, and originally I had anticipated bouncing my flash off the ceiling because I'd seen pictures of the building before, and they had these nice kind of – they were wood-colored, but I thought – and very high, but it would be all right. As it turns out, those are just kind of wood runners, and the bulk of the ceiling is black. So I got nowhere to bounce my flash off of. So very quickly I realized I couldn't use off-camera flash.
Right.
Because it was just me, and you're moving around really quickly. You're just kind of grabbing shots as they happen. And so I ended up having to basically use on-camera flash just right in people's face.
Okay, and so, you know, how'd you make that work?
First of all, you really be careful. It's a real balancing act. I wanted to make sure I let enough ambient light in. First things first, kept my back to the windows.
Okay.
Because like I said, the building is in like an L shape, and so it's all windows on all sides. So I basically stood in the crook of the L and sort of focused on taking my shots away from that direction.
He's making hand signals for those of you who couldn't see that, so that really helps.
So ultimately, what would work out well is we would get a lot of nice window light, as we've talked about in past episodes. And the windows there are actually angled. I can't really describe how they're angled. They're not perpendicular to the ground.
Right, yeah.
So basically the ceiling is larger than the floor, so they angle out.
Yeah.
So if you do happen to shoot your flash that direction, you don't get any glare.
Right. Well, that's nice. Yeah.
So that's one nice way to. That's one nice thing about that. But I ultimately tried to keep my back to the windows and use that nice window light to my advantage.
Right.
But I still had to fill in all the little shadows because we had the overhead lighting, which is this kind of overhead spot lighting. Mixed with the window light, and so I basically dialed my flash down to like -3 EV, or flash exposure compensation, -3.
Yeah.
And just used it just a hint, because I didn't want it to look like it was, you know, the deer in the headlights flash. So that's how I ended up doing that.
Well, excellent.
And everything with the 70 to 200 lens, too, because first off, that's just makes people look good.
Right, and you're using the full frame camera for that, obviously. This is your high-end clientele, so they get the good camera.
Yes. Okay. Although I've shot this kind of stuff with my 40D in the past, and if you know what you're doing, they can tell, but it's still you get a good result.
Okay.
So.
What about photo challenge time?
Let's move on to the photo challenge.
Because you didn't ask me anything. You weren't polite enough to ask me what I shot, but I didn't really shoot anything, so that's why I'm moving it along.
I'm kind of stunned by the whole, first of all, by the fact that I'm not up at 6 a.m. doing this. That's exciting.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the afternoon.
It's the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday.
Gorgeous sunny day.
And, down at the water, and it's fantastic. So I'm a little bit distracted by the scenery down here.
And, you know, people throwing rocks in the water, boats coming in and out, breeze, I guess, in the background that might be audible through our microphones.
I think so. Anyways, what did you shoot this week?
I didn't. I told you.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I told you. I didn't shoot anything.
Oh.
A couple of pictures of Jack in the backyard playing with bubbles, which was, you know, fun for me, but, you know, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time talking about. And the sequel to my daughter Sarah's Jesse from Toy Story Pictures, we shot Jack in his Woody from Toy Story pajamas and his hat that we got from the Disney store. So... yeah, those will be featured on an upcoming blog of my wife's.
I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, I don't know if she's posted them yet, but they are pretty cute.
All right.
Yeah. It's my opinion. I'm biased.
Yeah, well, yeah. And also, you didn't shoot any pictures down at Spanish Banks last week.
No, I didn't. We were down there for a barbecue, and I did not.
I got back the night before, and then despite the fact that I knew I would have crippling jet lag, I wanted to see as many people as I could, because I'm only in town for a week, and we went down to a place, one of my favorite spots in Vancouver. If you come to Vancouver, go to Spanish Banks.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful.
In the summer. In the winter, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the summer, it is fantastic. So we went down there for a barbecue, and I didn't bring my camera. I thought, well, Adam's going to bring his.
Yeah. But I wanted to play with my children, and so I didn't, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I said, you know, I'm going to be working all week shooting pictures, and I just want to go have fun. But so someone else will bring it. And no, not many pictures from that.
No. We did borrow someone else's camera, so maybe there'll be a picture. We posed for a picture just right at sunset, maybe a few minutes too late.
Right.
But somebody's got a camera that has a few pictures of us together on it that we might get a hold of it at some point.
Well, I can only imagine that listeners are going to rewind that last part, listen to it again, because it was so riveting. not content to just hear that once,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, you know, you never know.
Ha! Let's get into the photo challenge. What was the photo challenge? I don't even remember. It was
High-speed sync.
High-speed sync. I do remember. You know why I remember?
Because it's awesome.
Because we just took our high-speed sync pictures, like, moments ago.
Yes, that's right.
We waited.
Yeah, we wanted to be able to feature our location for the podcast with pictures while we're sitting in the location.
This is a bocce tournament coming right our way.
Yeah.
No joke.
I thought we were out of the way, but this is extreme bocce. So.
That's extreme bocce.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, I didn't have a chance to take my high-speed sink, so I wanted to take one of Adam.
Yep.
And so we just knocked him off. And so let's go over mine first, because mine is a real snapshot.
Yeah. Well, when you have good subject matter to work with, you usually get good pictures.
Yeah. Mine's I didn't go crazy posed. Also, I used your camera.
Yeah, they were all taken on my camera because you didn't bring your camera.
No, I was busy earlier today with it, and hence left it at home. But that's a really boring story.
The end.
The end. So no, I'm.
And tell it again, Al.
It's funny when you use someone else's camera, even though you have a Canon and I have a Canon, and the slight differences. It kind of you're not quite as fast operating it as you'd like to be.
Yeah.
Which is why you want to get out and shoot as many pictures as you can, because you want to get familiar with your camera so that you don't have to mess around with it like I was doing with yours.
Yeah.
And ended up missing a good opportunity when a big cargo boat was heading past.
Somebody made a great shot in the bocce tournament.
That was some good... Oh, that's not even bocce. That's like that plastic kids bocce.
Yeah.
That's like a safety. That's like lawn darts, but not really lawn darts.
Are lawn darts banned now in Germany?
I have no clue. No one has a lawn.
Oh, okay.
They don't have no front yards, and you know what we need? Oh, I can't talk about it on the air. I think Pat, it's still a patent pending. We'll talk about it later. You know what I'm talking about?
Drinko?
No. Not Drinko. Let's move on.
Okay.
I'll have to check with Adam. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say it, and if it's verboten, then I'll
all
cut
the,
it.
Oh, the washers. Washers, yeah. No, someone's already made it and sold it, so
Lena loves it so much she wants to import it.
Yeah,
Germany.
Well, somebody was sold it in Canadian Tire. I saw it, a full-made set.
Really?
So, yeah, someone's done it.
I need to get some specs.
The German patent, yeah.
Maybe we'll get this guy to take our picture.
Maybe.
Yeah, with his own camera and send it to us. I'm not joking.
Well, should you go ask him?
In a sec.
Well, why don't you finish your story about your trip to Munich?
Yeah.
We were talking about the photo challenge before you lost track of the bocce tournament.
Okay, well, this guy over here, he's wandering off. He might take our picture while we're on the air.
Oh, while we're broadcasting.
That's what I'm asking. I'll do that. Excuse me? Yeah. You mind doing us a favor?
Sure.
Can you snap our picture with your camera?
Sure.
I'll give you a card.
We're doing a photo podcast. It's a photography podcast.
We're a photo show on iTunes called The Two Hosers Photo Show.
Okay.
And so it's our first time doing it live down here at Steveston.
Okay.
So if
you want me to take a picture of you guys?
Please, right
yeah.
now. Be awesome. We'll give you our card. Did you bring any of the Two Hosers cards?
No. No.
Oh, awesome.
No, I didn't. No.
So
we're posing.
Okay, and we're back. So we're fortunate enough that Armando from Maple Ridge just took our photo. So
yeah. Thanks, Armando.
Hopefully we'll post that if he gets that to us before we air the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise it'll come later. So. Yeah. So we were talking about the photo challenge.
Yeah.
We were talking about, and. I used your camera, and I just quickly rattled off a couple snapshots. And so here we go. Have a look at this one here. This is the one without flash, first of all.
Oh, that's a big horn on a boat.
Yeah, that's a big it's a big HST horn. Anyway, yeah. So here's the one without a flash.
Okay.
So you can see what I've done here is exposed for the background.
Yeah.
So the background's fine, but obviously you, although backlit. Not very well exposed.
Correct. Not a picture I'm hanging on my wall.
Absolutely not. So that's the first thing I do when I'm in this situation where you find yourself in, you don't really, kind of the middle of the day where it's not the greatest situation, I try to get my subject to fate to have their back to the sun.
Okay, yeah.
So that way they would create a nice little backlight, a nice little rim light around them, and then I can fill it in with the flash. So here it is. Without the flash, you can see it's terrible.
Yeah.
So now I add the flash. Except now that I add the flash, you can see that the background can no longer stay blurry.
Right.
As we talked about last... Did we talk about last
right,
show,
right? Because it's only going to be at 1/200th of a second, in which case, with all this light, you're going to need a much smaller aperture, and hence, you're going to get... you're going to lose that narrow depth of field. You're going to get a lot more in focus.
Right. So when we go down to f/16, now that's exactly what happens. And we pop the flash, and it looks all right.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I could have dialed down the flash exposure a little bit, but I was in a hurry.
Yeah.
And I don't know your camera that well, so.
Yeah. You know, I think it illustrates the point.
Yes. And so here we go. Look at the one with high-speed sync.
Right.
And now this is much better. We can see that we're back to the F2 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I can't see.
I think it was an F2.5. Yeah.
F2.5. And now the background's blurry again.
Yeah.
And boom.
And again, I think you pretty much hit the nail on the head as far as the amount of light you needed on me to get a picture that doesn't look like it's taken with flash.
Right. And see, well, what I'm going for here, oftentimes, almost every time I use high-speed sync, it's as a fill flash, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But I dial it down from anywhere from -1 to -3. On the flash exposure compensation.
Right.
Because I don't want it, like you said, to be just overpowered in someone's face. You want
right.
it just a hint to fill in the blanks.
And I think that was one of, I've been using high-speed sync for, I don't know, maybe 6 months, and that was one of the things that I really didn't know as to how much to dial down that flash exposure compensation. And I think I was usually around -1, and I was still finding that when I, you know, imported my pictures, then I was, you know, downing the exposure even more. So that's a good starting point to sort of know.
Well, you know what I ended up doing, and this took me a while to clue in, is that generally when you're in high-speed sync situations, it's very bright out.
Right.
And by contrast, you cannot see your LCD screen.
Right.
So every time I would use flash use the high-speed sync, I would be really unpleased with my result because I was looking at the LCD screen and I couldn't see accurately what I was getting. So I tended to overcompensate and try to boost the flash.
Yeah.
And then, so it would present a good result when looking at your LCD screen, but you get back home and you're blown out.
Yeah.
So this goes way back to what we talked about quite a while ago in trusting your judgment. You gotta understand that, you know, you probably, if you practice enough, you'll know what you're doing.
Yeah, and the light on the LCD in this situation isn't always the best way to gauge whether or not you got it right.
Right. One thing to keep in mind, too, when you're shooting high-speed sync, and this is what not everyone does remember, is that it is pretty intensive. It takes a lot of juice.
Yeah.
That's why the power drops down so much. But on the flip side of that, it can drain your batteries very quickly.
Okay.
And towards the lower half of your charge, you'll find that it takes longer for your flash to recycle.
Yeah, I have noticed that, yeah.
So you'll be flat. If you don't wait between pictures, you'll end up really disappointed.
Yeah.
Because your second shot in the series will be really underexposed. So that's what I end up doing. I try to wait an extra beat just to make sure I get enough cycle.
Okay.
All right, let's look at your pictures.
Okay.
Now, who did you shoot?
I shot Mr. Stoic, Alan Attridge.
No.
And that was taken in essentially the same spot that you took your pictures in. I just sat you down on some of the logs in front of the water and tried to get some of the rocks just for an artistic effect.
Pardon?
Is this Japan?
A band? If there was a weird cut there, we had what do we have?
Random guy wandering around.
Random stranger with video camera.
Yeah, taking stills.
I don't know if he was.
He said take a picture.
I understand what he said.
I saw his finger reach for the camera shutter button
because
I have a similar old mini DV camera.
All right, I did not know that.
Yeah.
That guy's a pet pigeon there.
Yeah. No, that's the Birdman.
Is there a Birdman here?
No, he is. That guy is the Birdman.
Well, he's clearly the Birdman. And now we got waves. Wow, this is just a full day here.
Well, what we were talking about, the high-speed sync challenge photo that I took of you.
Yes, Mr. Stoic.
Mr. Stoic with his aviator sunglasses.
This was a chance. This is a rare opportunity for you to shoot blue steel in person.
Right.
So.
And so that's what I did. I took a picture, and very similar to you, I basically did the first picture I did with the no flash just to get my exposure on the background. And I think that's taken it an f2.5, and I can't remember offhand exactly what the shutter speed was, but there that is, and you can't see much at all of your face, and you see the background properly exposed. And then I snapped the high speed sync at the same shutter speed and the same aperture, but adding in the fill flash from the high speed sync, and so you see there. That's the exposure you get. And then I switched it to an F9 and took the and took the regular flash picture, and you can see that obviously you get a lot more background again in focus. And if for my money, if I'm looking at the picture that I like the best, I'm taking the high-speed sync in this situation every time.
Yeah, this is where it really sings. Again, I'm not really a huge fan of on-camera flash, bit of a snob that way.
Yeah.
But oftentimes you find yourself in a situation where you have to do it. And outside like this, that's when you can really set yourself apart.
Right.
So, good job.
All right. So
also, I have to point out that it is a handsome subject matter.
Right, yeah. It looks, we're saying, like, you're wearing a Roots t-shirt there, and I don't know, I would not be far-fetched to say that could be an ad in a Roots magazine or a Roots commercial.
Well, it's with that and the Mitt Romney haircut, I think, is the combo.
The silverbacks.
Huh?
Salt and pepper?
Oh, yeah. That's the Clooney. We're calling it the Clooney.
Right.
I told you before the show we're going to call it the Clooney at least three times on the show.
I was thinking we'd call it the Grandpa, my Grandpa in 1988, but either way.
I'm guessing your Grandpa had no hair.
No, it doesn't. It skips like eight generations.
Oh, well.
Balding genetics?
Well.
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor. So, all right, on to this week's topic. This week's topic is it's a focus-related topic. We talked about focus in the past in a whole episode.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
Yeah, but I came across a new challenge, and it's a question, a burning question that I need an answer to, and I think you have that answer.
I believe I do. Why don't you go ahead and explain the situation about what challenging situation you found yourself in.
Okay, so last weekend I was down in this exact location trying
point to it for me.
Okay, it's about 50 meters from where we're sitting.
Awesome.
But it's kind of where I was taking your challenge photo, and I had my parents, my mom's 65th birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks here.
38th birthday.
Yeah, and I was trying to get a picture that I could, you know, give them as a birthday present, my parents. So, you know, they got a lot of pictures with grandkids and whatnot, but not a lot of pictures of just the two of them. And I thought, oh, perfect opportunity to do it. So I brought them down at Magic Hour, and I set them up on the rocks. And I'm using my 50mm 1.8 lens, and I'm standing maybe, I don't know, 50 feet from them. And we're losing some light, and I'm trying to, because it's the 50mm and I'm on a crop sensor, I want to stand back far enough that I can sort of get the whole scenery in the background and have them show up relatively small in the frame. Problem being, I could not for the life of me get them in focus. And so I felt like I was beating my head against the wall trying to do that. I did the best I can. Of course, on my small little LCD, I did what I thought was the best I could, got home and realized none of them were up to par in my opinion.
Okay, so where was the focus?
I was trying to focus on their face,
right?
But I was always just missing it a little bit.
And by where would it focus?
It would focus usually more behind them.
More behind them.
Yeah, and so they would always be slightly out of focus.
Okay, so you said it was Magic Hour, so the light was getting dim.
Yeah.
Oftentimes what you're running into here is your camera autofocus is very, very good if there's contrast.
Okay.
It does sort of an edge detection and it looks for contrast in the image, and that's how it sharpens itself up. That's how it focuses. Now, in this situation, you'll find that it might have been just too dark on your parents to find. Because normally you focus on the eye, right?
Yeah.
Now, there probably wasn't enough light for it to determine an edge.
Right.
Now, if you're in closer, it probably would have been
I took the exact same pictures, but that's not the picture I wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in this case, how do you get good focus, I believe is what you're asking.
Yeah, from that distance with my setup, I was pretty certain at that point it couldn't be done. I've never tried to do this, but I was realizing quickly that I just thought it was a limitation of my lens and I needed to have some sort of zoom range in order to pull this off.
Right. No, there are some solutions to this.
Okay, well, I want to know what they are.
Okay. Let's start with first off. I mean, you're going to go manual focus.
Okay, I didn't try that.
This is a great time. Autofocus is great, except for certain limitations, and this is one of them.
Okay.
So manual focus. The only problem is the eyepiece in all the digital SLRs is not really designed for manual focus.
Okay.
If you look at the older SLR cameras, they usually have like a sort of a diopter, like a split thing, or it's designed to do much better auto or manual focus.
Okay.
Now, they don't have them in your digital SLRs, and that's a problem, because when I first started taking pictures, I thought I'm always going to manually focus.
Yeah.
I don't. Only in times of trouble like this. So first off, I think my first solution would be to use live view.
Which is when you pop up all the picture on the LCD on the back.
Right. Now, it's the first thing you notice is missing when you start shooting DSLR if you've come from a point-and-shoot.
Yeah.
Because most people are used to looking at the LCD screen and composing. And then you get back into shooting regular just through the eyepiece, and you get away from it. But if you go ahead and activate it... Now, this works best with a tripod.
Yeah.
But in a pinch, if you're not moving around, you can do it handheld as well.
Yeah.
So I would flip on live view and have a look there and try to get focus like that. Now, the interesting part about live view is if you use, you'll find there's buttons on the back of your camera that will allow you to perform a digital zoom on that live view image.
Right. But so, even though it's still a 50 millimeter, it's going to show me an up-close version, which is where the focus is, but I'm still taking the exact same picture.
Exactly. Now, all it is zooming in on your preview image,
right?
Not your final image. Because digital zoom, digital SLRs don't have digital zoom because it's useless.
Right.
And if you have it on your point and shoot, just disable it.
Right.
It's no good.
Oh, there's a dog.
That's a dog. I thought it was a bear for a sec. So disable it. Don't use the digital zoom. Can you get by us? Okay. But for the digital SLR, if you're going to use the... I'm distracted. This is going to be another weird cut, I think.
Yeah, we've had some issues. One thing we didn't foresee recording live was that there's other people, and they move in and out and around, and people don't really care that you're standing with microphones talking to each other. So
I don't think they know that we're the two hosters.
No, I think we should have a big sign behind us.
I thought they would have recognized this, but...
A big banner.
I do like the fact that now that I'm in Canada again here, and there's nothing but room in Canada, people just came and sat in our laps.
Yeah, and there's... Well, maybe if you were wearing your CBC t-shirt, people would have known who you were.
I should have... Oh, yeah. I should have thought of that ahead of time. All right, so where were we talking about live view?
Yes.
Right, digital zoom on live view. So forgive me if I'm repeating part of this. We're going to overlap it a little bit. So you zoom in... A digital zoom on your live view preview image. Now, this isn't what's going to happen on your actual picture. You're going to get your regular photo,
right?
However you framed it. But what this does is it gives you a slightly pixelated but zoomed-in preview image that lets you get razor-sharp focus.
Right.
Now, once you get that, if you just go ahead and trip the shutter, it's going to take the picture.
Okay, yeah.
You can get out of live. You can cancel live view and get back into your normal mode if you like. But either way, you're going to be able to take that picture. Now, one thing to keep in mind, if you change the distance between the camera and your subject after you're using live view...
Yeah, you're going to lose that focus.
You're going to have to refocus.
Hence the tripod.
Exactly. A tripod's great. Like I said, you can do it handheld if you need to. But that's the one thing that's the first thing I would do.
You know, this just sings of a photo challenge.
We're going to do a live view photo challenge?
I think we have to.
Okay, let's save it for the end of the show, man.
Okay, well, I just spoiled it now.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It's okay, but you have to yell spoiler alert.
Stop listening now if you want to hear what's going to get spoiled.
Can you earmuff it for me?
Yeah.
Go ahead and that's great. Okay, that's going to be the photo challenge at the end. I need you to think about, between now and then, structure it in a way to get something interesting, though.
Okay.
So, okay, I didn't mean to take you to task there. Another way to do it, something else I've seen other people doing, is getting people to hold up their iPhones.
What does that do?
Basically, it's if your iPhone is turned on, it'll be a lot brighter than the scene you're in.
We're not sponsored by Apple, by the way, either. So.
Oh yeah, okay.
That could be a BlackBerry or whatever other.
Hold up your smart device.
Yes.
I don't even have an iPhone.
No,
it makes you feel better.
I don't either.
Okay, there you go. But people are holding up their smart device units.
Yeah.
And the LCD screen usually lights up, and that provides a good if they get them to hold that next to their face.
Yeah.
You can then focus on that, because that usually provides a good contrast that the camera can see.
That's a smart little trick, I think.
That's a good little tip. I've seen that. I've also seen, basically, you can get the subject to shine a flashlight on themselves if they're this far away. you shine a flashlight on themselves, get focused, put the flashlight away, take the picture.
Yeah, I know. I always carry a flashlight.
You might now.
Where I go.
You don't have an iPhone, you might get a flashlight.
That's a good point.
So those are a couple ways to use it. That's if you want to go back to autofocus, because that way you can use autofocus with your smartphone device or a flashlight. The other manual focus trick, now this one's a little bit tougher on some of the newer, cheaper lenses, but focus is a subject of distance. And so the more expensive and older lenses will have distances marked on them.
Right, I've seen that, yeah.
And that's how we do it in motion pictures. Like in motion pictures, you typically don't focus through the camera. If you look, you'll watch, and they actually have a tape measure attached to the camera.
Okay.
With the zero end being at the equivalent of the film plane. And they then stretch that tape measure out to the actor's eye or the nose or wherever they're measuring, usually the eye. Measure it to the eye and say, okay, that's great. That's 12 feet, 3 inches. The camera assistant will then set the camera to 12 feet, 3 inches. That's marked on the lens.
Oh.
And that's how focus happens. So there's nothing preventing you from doing that. In fact, if you look at your camera, you have your camera here, right?
Yeah.
Let's get it out. I'm not sure if yours has a marking. I'll bet yours has a marking of the film plane.
I don't know.
I believe mine does. So we're looking at the camera on the top. Let's see the very top. Yep, right there. See the... Oh, no, that's the... Yours doesn't have it. On the XS, I don't think it has a marking of where technically the film plane would be.
Well, that was a giant waste of time.
That might be... Well, that might be the mark there that also doubles as the selector mark, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, the more expensive cameras, have a look at them, and they actually have a mark on there where the exact film plane is so that you can get an accurate measurement of distance.
Okay, well, apparently my camera is not good enough.
No, we're going to use it to go hammer tent pegs. it's a piece of junk. It's not a piece of junk.
It's not.
No, it's fantastic.
You've been recommending this camera to everybody.
I still do. Try and find it used.
Okay.
Or anyways. So that's how we do it in the motion pictures, and that's why things are so in focus in motion pictures, is because they'll measure, if someone's walking through the frame, they'll actually measure out 5 or 6 different spots. And the camera assist will know, okay, when he gets to there, it's 12 feet. When he gets to there, it's 10. And he'll shift the focus as the actor walks towards the camera.
Okay, and that's a guarantee.
That's a guarantee it's going to be in focus-ish. Now, what's preventing you, if you have these markings on your lens, if you're shooting the picture of your folks, if you can estimate within a reasonable amount, say, oh, okay, great, you know what? They're 35 feet away. You could set your lens to 35 feet.
Right.
And depending on your aperture,
yeah.
Depending on your focal length, depending on, those two things, they should be in focus. Acceptable focus.
Okay.
So that's another way to do it.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, it sounds like that one's going to be hard, because, again, I'm going to look at your camera this time. I don't think the 50 millimeter lens, no, it doesn't. The 50 millimeter lens, the 1.8, doesn't come with distance markings. That's kind of what you get for $100. I have the 1.4 version, and it does have distance markers. So that comes in. I don't use it that often on those, but on the older cameras, I would use that all the time. And when that comes in handy is, let's say you're out in doing street photography, or you're shooting pictures of your kids playing sports, and you know where something is going to happen, you can pre-focus on that distance and wait for it. The event to happen in that zone.
Okay.
So that's it. You going to try this?
Yeah.
Which method do you think you're going to try?
I'm going to try the live view, because that's the part I could see myself using that on a regular basis. So this going to live view, using the digital zoom to then manually focus on my subject and then snap the picture that way. So I want to somehow utilize that in a photo challenge.
Okay. Well, that leads us right to the photo challenge. And what's it going to be?
I'm done thinking. So.
So it's just live.
That's it. That's all I got. Now you can mold that or shape that if you've got any ideas.
Well, we're gonna hit that ball right into my court. All right. Well, what we're gonna do then is it's gonna be a situation where you have no choice but to use live view. Not even that it's no choice, but you know what? We're gonna turn the autofocus off.
Okay.
And gonna get a. I'm gonna, maybe we can try to recreate that exact situation. Of your folks.
Except without my folks?
Well, not with your folks, because they're not here.
Right.
I get that.
Maybe we can just, after we're done here in this podcast, we can just go over there right now and try to shoot that picture. Now, it's not the exact time of day.
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the day.
We probably don't need that that live view.
No, I'm gonna take a shot where I needed to use live view.
Okay.
I use live view all the time when shooting video with my 5D. That's essentially how video is shot. It's basically you're recording the live view image.
Okay, so what you're saying is I'm gonna have to come back here at another point in time and shoot that picture.
You don't have to shoot it here.
Okay.
You can do whatever you like.
But you said recreate the picture, my folks, which was shot here.
I also said maybe.
Okay.
Look, you're making it weird. And that guy's watching us, so you know.
Hello, sir. Move along, please.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Unless you have any listener questions.
Yeah. We're going to take live listener questions.
Yeah, anyone wants to phone in, there's a payphone down at the corner of Gary Point here. No, I don't know if there is or not. Are there payphones anymore?
No, I don't think people use them.
At the airport, perhaps. So that's it. That's the photo challenge. So, it?
I think where can people find your stuff? I think we're done.
Yep, you can find my stuff as always at alannatridge.com. You can find the two of us at twohosers.com, twohosers on the Twitter, which I haven't really been Twittering.
I still don't Twitter, so. Mm.
I usually tweet when there's a new episode out. I do pay attention to Twitter, so if you want to send us any questions or something like that, I will pay attention to it. You can find us on our Flickr site, which again I have been ignoring. I've just been really
neglecting,
complacent. I'll be honest, I have been extremely busy with work, and it's been crazy and really difficult to find time to dedicate, because I want to go through and comment on a lot of the pictures that I see up there, because people put the effort in to not only take the pictures but share them with us, and we do appreciate that.
Yep.
And there's one recently I did comment on. The good news is when I got back I had some really good jet lag, and so I had an opportunity to just kind of take care of that. And I commented on, the same one you did.
Yeah.
I don't remember the guy's name.
I don't either, but it was a fantastic picture of
a child.
It was a child. With,
yeah.
Just an amazing picture.
It was from San Diego, I think. I can't remember. I apologize for not remembering your name. Normally we have our computers in front of us and would have it up, but you know who you are. So tell all your friends that it was you.
And just to pump our own tires, they said they learned something from us. So if they learned that from us, then we are thrilled.
Absolutely, beyond thrilled. Like I was really taken with that picture. It was really fantastic. It was of a child who's not quite smiling.
Yeah.
Great out of focus background. It was a lens flare picture.
Yeah, and the eyes are just lit right up.
Yeah, lit right up. So anyway, so that kind of thing. And I promise when things calm down, which still really busy, but when they calm down I will try to comment a little bit more. And so there, that's where you can find us. Adam, where can we find your stuff?
As always, schwartzchronicles.com, and we'll try to have a couple of pictures of Jack in his Woody Toy Story costume sometime this week.
That's awesome. All right, until next week, get out there, make some better photos. Let's go get some fish and chips.